Dear Father, we love you so much. We're thankful for who you are, for what you do. We're thankful for this time that you've given us to just draw nearer to you. I pray that you would speak your goodness, your truth into our hearts today. I pray, Father, that in your presence we would find joy and peace and hope for the future. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So my girls and I have been reading the series, The Mysterious Benedict Society, together. Super fun, interesting. They even came out with a show about it now on Disney Plus. And it tells the story of four remarkable children. You've got Rainey, Kate, Sticky, and Constance. And they've been recruited by Nicholas Benedict. And as a team, they work together as spies to stop a man who's trying to control the world. So they go undercover into the school that's run by a man named Ladapter Curtin, and they're trying to figure out what he's up to, how they can stop to it, and they realize things are not as they should be in the school. They're not learning what children normally learn in school. It's not the regular classes, but they find themselves memorizing these phrases that don't seem to make sense. Things like the missing aren't missing, they're only departed. As the children dig into what's happening, they find out that Ladapter Curtin is using a form of mind control to make everybody afraid. They call it the emergency. The emergency shows up in the news and on TV and on the radio, and it's always urgent and it's always pressing, and everything about it just causes more alarm and more fear. And in the book they say, no one seems to realize how much we are driven by fear. The essential component of human personality. Everything else, from ambition to love to despair, derives in some way from the single powerful emotion. And then through these subliminal messages that are being sending out using children's voices, the mass of people are directed away from thinking about what they should be thinking about to other things. And because everybody is afraid and the emergency and the urgency and they're worried all the time, the cure is found in this whisperer that Mr. Curtin has created. And when you're under the control of the whisperer, you find peace from worry and rest from fear. Now, the downside is you hand over control of your mind, but the payoff is everything feels better for a time. You don't have to face these fears alone. You can find comfort. So as the children discover what's going on and they work together to put a stop to it and save the day, and that's just the beginning. That's book one, and there's more stories to follow. But I found it really interesting because it speaks so truthfully to something we all experience, this worry and this fear and the urgency of the news that's around us and the constant streaming and access to everything that's going on and everything we can be worried about and everything there is to be afraid of. And there's a lot right now, right? The list is high, and it goes on and on and on. And it feels so often like, I could take a break, right? I could use some rest from all of this. I could use some peace from the chaos and a break from the constant fear. And when you think about stress and worry, it's something that everybody has to deal with. Everybody has to learn how to manage and navigate, because there's no life that doesn't face stress, fear, and worry. I love this definition of stress that came from an article about it. It said, stress is the perception that situations we are facing are greater than the resources that we have to deal with them. Resources like time, energy, ability, and help from others. So what happens is we feel like the situation requires more than we have to give it, and that feels so true right now. It feels beyond our resources. It feels like our energy, our ability have been tapped. And the stress and the worry just keep growing and compiling. But a study was done into this idea of the things that we stress out over and the things that we worry about. And they took a group of people and asked them to list everything they were worried about over a period of time. Just everything that pops into your mind that you get worried about, write it down and keep a list of it. And then they were asked to go back and pick out which of the things they worried about actually happened. Of the list of things that they were worried about happening, which of them actually came true? And what they found in this study is that 85% of what people worried about never even happened. And then they found that the 15% of what did actually happen, almost 80% of the people they studied found they could either handle the difficulty better than they expected, or the difficulty taught them something that they found worthwhile. They learned from it. So when you put all those numbers together, because I'm not a statistician, but this is what the study said, it means that 97% of what we worry about is no more than fearful minds punishing us with exaggerations and misperceptions. So 97% of the things happening in our mind, it's a fearful mind exaggerating and misrepresenting what's happening. It went on to say that worry is like blood pressure. You need a certain level of it to live, but too much can kill you. At its worst, worry is insidious, invisible, a relentless scavenger roaming the corners of your mind, feeding on anything it finds. It sets upon you unwanted and unbidden, feasting on the infinite array of negative possibilities in life. I love this article because you could tell this person has experienced this before. It says, what happens is it's this infinite array of negative possibilities, diminishing your enjoyment of friends, family, achievements, and physical being, all because you live in fear of what might go wrong. And that feels so true of life. There's an urgency to the worry. It's going to happen. It's going to happen immediately, and it comes in unwanted, and it just ravages our minds and our well-being. And we have so many things that we could worry about and so many things we could stress over and so many things that we could be distracted by. And it always leaves us tired and worn. And then if you go back and look at the actual numbers, I mean, we could do this test on ourselves just for a week. Write down everything that you are worried about and how many of these things happen. The worry only increases our trouble. It never lessens it. And if there's one thing that we're really, really good about, let's be honest, we're good at worrying. We're good at finding things to stress out over. And if we need to, we make up the things to stress out over. But here's what we also know. Anxiety, worry, stress, and fear, they are the enemies of joy. If we're pursuing a life that is marked by joy, we have to push back against the worry, the anxiety, and the stress, and the fear that crops up in our life, because they rob us of peace and joy and well-being. The things, they stand anxiety and peace. They don't go together. They are not friends. There's no cohabitating with peace and anxiety when they're both living in the same place. You can't feel at peace when worry's at the wheel driving the bus. So we have to say, what do? Because if we do nothing, it wears us down and it knocks us out of the realm of possibility and healthy thinking and what we can do that is proactive and effective for change. But we are not defenseless. Yes, we all experience worry and anxiety and fear and stress at different levels, but we are not without resources when it comes to finding our way through in healthy ways. And today, as we go back to Philippians and what Paul says to his friends all those years ago, look, it is just as true for us today. And I'm going to share with us just a couple of verses from Philippians chapter 4. If you have your copy of Philippians, underline this, highlight. If you don't, get a little note card for yourself and write this down. This is a great verse to memorize and think about and use in your life when moments of fear, worry, anxiety crop up. Listen to what Paul says in chapter 4, starting at verse 6. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Okay, I love this idea. So I want to say it one more time. If you just need to like quiet your eyes, look away, look out at the sky, just something to not be distracted. Hear these words from Paul. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. There's a reason there are words like this in the Bible. Anytime we say, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous, do not be anxious, right? Why? Because it is a human condition of our heart. We worry, we confront fear, stress is real, anxiety is real. There's not shame in admitting that we have these things to deal with. And for thousands of years, Paul said these words. They mattered then and they matter today because these are problems we have to figure out ways to work around. And Paul gives us tools because we worry, because we find ourselves anxious, because we confront fear. Paul says, let me give you some tools so that when this happens, you don't have to be defeated by these things. They're not going away, but we can manage them. We can work through them. We can find healthy ways to deal with it. But we have to choose the healthy tools. And here's the tension that happens. Usually when we are stressed out, worried, upset, afraid, when we are feeling just overwhelmed with all of the things, we don't usually go to healthy options. This is where our unhealthy options come in, right? We're stressed out about work. We're stressed out about family. We're overwhelmed with the pressure that we're receiving in our life. And so we go to the things that we just, I want to break from it. So what's going to make me feel better? And this is where all of our unhealthy habits come in, right? We stress out, so we overeat, we binge drink, we numb it out by binge watching too many shows, right? We don't want the bad feelings, so we think this will make me feel better. But they end up leaving us feeling worse, right? It's those ideas, they're shadow comforts. They offer comfort for a second, but it's a shadow that doesn't last, and we end up feeling worse in the long run. So instead of our usually unhealthy practices that we reach to when life feels hard or the pressure is real or the anxiety is on, Paul says, let me give you an alternative. Instead of being anxious about everything, here's what you can do. Replace it with prayer. You can set up a new pattern in your life. Instead of reaching for the things we know don't work, here's a new tool to use that you can disrupt the regular pattern, the fear, the worry, the stress that comes in and wants to take over. We can instead turn to God in prayer. And the most incredible thing about God in prayer is God wants to connect to us in prayer. I love C.S. Lewis said, you get to lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. Most of us approach prayer with a little bit of hesitation, right? Like, we feel like we got to pray like the saints, or we got to say the right words, or we got to act like the person that we think God wants us to be, or what a normal Christian is supposed to be. And C.S. Lewis is like, look, you just go to God with what's in your heart. You don't have to pretend who you're not. Just go to God with who you are. And instead of this habit of worry and stress and anxiety, Paul says we can pray about everything because God promises that he hears us when we pray. God promises that he is with us when our hearts are troubled. He promises that he's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave us or forsake us or abandon us or turn on us, no matter how hard it is. Prayer gives our mind a healthy direction, a healthy focus, instead of the alternative. So before the worry sets in, before the anxiety takes over, before the stress feels like it's so much, like, I don't know about you, sometimes I get so stressed out, I can't catch my next breath. It feels like I literally have to, and like I'm just so stressed out and my shoulders get high and I get more tense. Before that takes over, stop, consider, take a breath, and we get to think about Christ instead. Prayer is our reminder. We get to pray about everything, everything. This isn't a qualifier here. We get to pray about everything because we are not in this alone. That there are things in our control that we can do. One of the worst parts about worry is it's the things that we can't control that we normally worry about the most, right? Like, I love my kids dearly, and there's so many things that could happen to them that are outside of my control, and that robs me of joy. There are so many things going on in the world that are stressful and hard, and some of them are beyond my influence, and that's worrisome. That's where the anxiety, and we live in this, I can't do anything about it, so I'm just going to worry and worry and worry and worry cycle. But we get to say, this is my circle of control. Draw a circle. I live in the circle. What can I do where I am? The things that I can't do anything about, I got to hand them over and I got to release them. But the things I can do, that's the circle, the world that I want to live in. Prayer is something we can do. Something that's within our resource, our ability, no matter how smart we are, no matter how religious we are, no matter what our educational background is, all of us can begin to pray right where we are, and it puts us back into the world of something we can do instead of getting lost in the world of everything that we can't. Something we can practice within our ability. And so to help us with this, I want to share some really concrete ideas about how we do this. I've been reading a book this week. It's called The Hour That Changes the World by Dick Eastman. And it's interesting to me because prayer is one of those things that you just get better at it by doing it. Like, it's not one of those things that you need to research for a year. You need to get, like, all these outside. You just need to start. So to give us some tools and some ideas to start, I want to share some ideas from his book. It's a lot of really good tools that we can use in our life. And he has this idea that what if we were to pray for an hour every day? He said, if you do that for a year, that's 45 continuous 8-hour days, which would be pretty amazing, right? That's a lot of time with God, letting him connect. Now think about it. The statistics say we spend almost 2 hours a day worrying. So we could replace half of that with prayer and connecting to God and see what he might do that directs our minds and our hearts to a healthier place. And in his book, Dick Eastman reminds us that nothing is beyond the reach of prayer because God himself is the focus of prayer. We're putting our mind and our heart and the thoughts that we have in the realm of God, who nothing is too hard for. And when we pray, God responds. And I love it. So he gives us this outline that we can practice when we're trying to pray. So if we're not sure where to start, if we're not sure how to begin, or we're not sure like what we should say or how we should say it, or we've tried before, or we feel like it's not something we're good at, or we've been praying for years and we just want to try a new idea, I'm going to give us this outline that he gives us. And the idea is, here are 12 different aspects of prayer. And if you spend 5 minutes on each of these aspects, there's your hour every single day that you get to pray. Now, for some of you, that feels like heck of intimidating. Just pick a minute. You could spend 12 minutes in prayer. Spend a minute on each of these ideas. Spend 2 minutes. There you're at 24. But the idea is, okay, you don't have to do everything perfectly. You just have to start. And these are some ideas that help us get started. We're not trying to be perfect. We're trying to connect to God. We're not trying to pretend that we are this perfect Christian who has everything together. We're just trying to say, look, this is a real aspect of my life, and I want to spend time in a healthier place and see what God might do instead. We all need time with God. We need all of our hearts, the focus of our hearts, redirected from the worry and the fear that we experience to prayer and joy and peace with him. So here's the guide I'm going to give us. I just want you to write down 12 words right now. 12 words, and you can start where you are, whether it's a minute each or 5 minutes each, or maybe you just pick one and you practice that one every single day. So he says, here's a guide for thinking about prayer. Number one is praise. When we're ready to open up and start praying, we begin with praising God with our words. We acknowledge God is God, and he is bigger and greater and more majestic than me. And the idea is, it's an unselfish focus. It's not about me, but how awesome God is. So we begin with the greatness of God. And something incredible happens when we put the focus on us. It produces forgetfulness, which is incredibly healthy for all of us. So when we're praising God, we're prizing him as far above everything else. We're valuing who he is and our sense of respect for what he's done, and we're cherishing that he is a God who finds us and connects us to him. We're praising God for his name and his work and his righteousness and his incredible creation. So we're just beginning by talking about how awesome God is and focusing on him. So one is praise, two is waiting. We follow praising God with just a time of silence. Waiting on God is a time of silent surrender of our soul to God. So praise is out loud verbalizing our respect and how awesome God is. Waiting is a silent love of God. So we're just spending a quiet minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you have in you, thinking thoughts about God, thinking about our love for him, concentrating on him. Our attention is on who he is, but we're quiet. So we praise, and then we wait, and then we confess. Because here's the truth. We have shortcomings. We have struggles. We have things that we didn't get right, things that we did that we wish we wouldn't have, things that we did that we promised we wouldn't do, and where we didn't get it right, where we messed up, where we sinned, where we fell off track, that's what we confess back to God. And it's not that God doesn't know what we've done. It's that God needs us to know what we've done. He needs us to bring it to him and give it over to him. And I love Dick Eastman says, my prayer life will never rise above my personal life in Jesus Christ. And friends, healing and forgiveness only begin with confession. This isn't shame. This is, I got to give it to God so that I can get it off my heart and off my mind and off the weight on my shoulders so that we can move on beyond it. Change begins with an awareness. So we praise God. We wait silently, loving him. Then we confess where we haven't gotten it right. And sometimes confession might look like, God, help me to see where I didn't get it right. Help me to see where I'm not on track. Help me to see where I need to redirect and be more your guy, your girl. And then number four is scripture reading. There's so many beautiful things in the Bible that we can incorporate into our time of prayer. So you pick something from the Bible and you read through it and you pray through it. And it doesn't have to be a long outline. It doesn't have to be six chapters of the Bible. Psalms are great. Proverbs, Gospels are a great place to start. Just pick a chapter, and then every time you pray, read through a section of the Bible that you're in, a chapter, a couple of verses, read through it and look for a word, an idea, a verse that captures your heart, and then pray that back to God. So what happens is we praise God, we wait on him, we confess our hearts to him, we read through the scriptures and pray those ideas to God, and then five is watching. And it's this really incredible idea of mental awareness, because guess what? Our minds like to wander. Do you ever let's just be real for a second. Do you ever catch yourself praying, and the next thing you know, you're like 10 steps removed from praying, and you're like all the way down to thinking through something that's going to happen, or your to-do list, or your shopping list, or what's going to, like, you just wandered so far away, you didn't even catch yourself, and you're like, oh, I was praying, and I got to get back, right? Okay, human, that happens to the best of us. This helps us be more mentally aware. When my mind wants to wander and drift away from what I'm thinking about, I get to bring it back to God. I'm not trying to just mindlessly mumble to God or say a couple of words to check it off my list. I'm trying to spend intentional time with God to connect with him. Prayer is always about relationship with God, and you can't have a relationship without good communication. It's a real struggle when we're not talking to each other to know what's going on. And so prayer helps us connect to God so that he can be at work in us. So we praise him. We wait on him. We are working through all the things that he is. We go back to this idea of watching so that we don't wander away from him. We praise him, we wait on him, we confess, we read the Bible, and then this watching is helping us to think about what's going on around us that needs prayer. In our world, in our communities, instead of the list of things that we want to complain about, we get to turn them into prayers and think about what we need to be aware of. And then from there, number six is intercession. From there, we turn that into prayer. So I'm trying to make my mind aware of what's going on. I'm watching, I'm thinking, I'm connecting to God, and now I'm turning those ideas into prayer. I want to pray for other people. It's part of God's plan for involving us in his work. God's plan is that we go out and be his people and love people around us. And guess what? There's lots of people who need prayers. There are lots of people right now in our world. Our leaders need prayers. And I know we've got long lists that we want to complain about, but what if for a week we stopped complaining and we prayed for them instead? The people making hard decisions right now in the schools and our communities, they need all the prayer that we can surround them with. Yesterday, we remembered September 11th that 20 years ago, this tragedy happened in our country. And we remembered our first responders, our police officers, our firefighters. There was a celebration going on not far from our house, and they had these beautiful posters with the faces of these people who lost their life in service. We could pray for them, pray for our police, pray for our firefighters, pray for our first responders. There are people struggling, and they need our prayers. When we don't know who to pray for, this is a time to say, God, help me think about somebody I should be praying for, I could be praying for. Help me to think about somebody that needs to connect to you and I could be praying for them and see what might happen. Ask God to open up your heart about who you can pray for. And as we think through this and we pray for other, we find God at work changing us. It's hard to hate up close. I mean, it's really easy to hate from a distance, but it's so much harder to hate up close. And we'll find God softening something in us as we pray for those, especially that we're angry at, that we're hurt by, that we're upset with, that we want to rant and rave over. So we praise God, we wait on him, we confess what's going on, we read something from the Bible, we watch and we make our mind mentally aware, and then we intercede and pray for others. And then we get to number 7, which is petition. And this is where we bring our personal needs to God. See how it doesn't come first, right? Like, I know a lot of prayers is, God, I need your help. I need you to do this right now, right away. I need you to show up. But we don't begin. We get here first. So we work our way through these steps, and then we bring what's going on in us to God. Remember, God, this isn't a magic genie moment, right? This isn't my wish list for Santa Claus. It's spending time with God, seeking him, knowing him, looking for his work in us. It's us telling God, I need you, which is real. It's us saying, God, I can't do this on my own. This isn't working. It's us pouring our hearts out to God, right? We lay out what's in us, not what ought to be in us. Be specific. We don't have to deal in generalities. This is our time with God to take our specific needs to him. And then from there, number 8, we turn to thanksgiving. We begin with praise. We wait. We confess. We read the Bible. We watch. We intercede and pray for others. We take our needs and our petitions to God, and then we turn it to thanksgiving. In all things, we get to pray and we get to say thank you to God. This is where we just get to express our gratitude, and we've talked about gratitude because it's so healthy for our souls and our well-being and our joy to focus on gratitude. We get to look for the good. Instead of only seeing the bad, we get to be reminded of God's faithfulness, his goodness, his kindness. And again, we get to be specific. We get to say specific thank yous to God for what happened that day, what happened that week, what you saw God doing in your life, in your family, around you, your community at work. And then I love number 9, because this isn't something I actually often hear. They say sing. Singing isn't just for church. You can use it in your prayer time as well. Watch out, because you are speaking my language now. I don't know if anybody else wants to hear it, but we get to sing in our prayer time. Our songs that we sing help us think right ideas about God. They give us a language to know him and understand him. And you can sing a verse from a song that we sing together. You can sing a hymn that you love, right? Like, this isn't trying to impress anybody with your skills. Some of you got them, some of us don't, no problem. But it's thanking God and praising him with these awesome ideas. I've had the song stuck in my head, and I get to say it over and over and over again and think about the goodness of God. When you read through the books of the Psalms, many of those were meant to be sung out loud. Pick a psalm and sing it. You get to put whatever harmony or melody or whatever music you want to. They were meant because it's a beautiful way to express our hearts. So we get to praise God. We get to wait on him, confess what's going on. We get to read Bible verses that help us think about God and watch and be mentally aware of what's going on. We intercede by praying for others, and then we petition God for our personal needs. We say thank you to God. We sing our praises to God. And then number 9 is meditation. Meditation, I know we've talked about this before, but I think we need to say it as many times as possible. It's not mindlessly emptying our heads, right? There's a lot of practices. I've told you this. I do yoga, and there's these couple minutes, and it is like, it's dead man, it's corpse. Like, you just empty everything, right? That's not this. We aren't mindlessly emptying. Instead, we're intentionally filling. We're quieting out some things so we can intentionally fill them with other. It's an inner study of spiritual matter. It's more than just thinking good thoughts, but how we give attention to them and apply them to our lives. And in this part of meditation, we're focusing on God, his works, his word, his victories, and what he's done. We get to think through ideas about God and questions that we're working our way through and trying to understand. So we're quieting out other things so we can focus intentionally on the right things. And then the next step is listening. We're listening to God. This is where in any good conversation, right, there's times that you speak and then there's times that you listen. And I don't expect God to show up in a burning bush like he did for Moses. And I don't expect God to show up But I do expect God to direct my heart, my mind, and my thinking. And this isn't the same as the others, right? Waiting is resting in God's love. Meditation is thinking through specific ideas or themes about God. Listening is a quiet time waiting for God to direct our hearts. We're quieting our hearts and our minds before God so he can guide us and direct us. Our hearts are thinking, right? Like, when we're thinking through hard ideas, we got to give quiet time for direction. If we're thinking through hard questions, we got to give quiet time so that he can direct us and get his help. And then we end with praise. We begin with praise and we end with praise. And we are going right back to magnifying God and making him great in our thoughts and in our minds. And we're going through, first of all, you got me through 12 steps. That's exciting. And then we're rejoicing in him. Wrapping up with a powerful, strong amen that we believe in God. He's trustworthy. He's good. And this is just one idea for us to incorporate into prayer with God. We get to praise him for who he is. We get to wait on him, and we get to silently love him. We get to confess what's going on in our hearts and our minds and in our lives. We get to read the Bible back to God and think through big ideas together. We get to watch and be mentally aware of him. We get to intercede and pray for others. We get to petition God that we get to bring our needs for him. We say thank you to God for who he is. We get to sing a song, a hymn, a verse, and we get to praise God with melody and song. We get to meditate and fill our minds with intentional things. We get to listen and let God direct us, and then we get to praise him one more time before we wrap it up. Paul says, when we pray about everything, here's what happens. Look at verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What happens is we find peace in God that we cannot find anywhere else. The kind of peace that is lasting and enduring, a peace that cannot be taken away from us, a peace that is attached not to what's happening around us, but the assurance of God who is in control, God who is wise and good and working to make all things whole. I love this idea of peace from theologian Barry Jones. The Old Testament idea of peace was called shalom. And he said, shalom is more than the absence of hostility or an inner sense of personal well-being. The nuances contained in this single Hebrew word require a cluster of English terms to adequately represent it. Wholeness, harmony, flourishing, delight, fulfillment. Shalom is the dream of God for a world set right. And this is the peace that we find in connection to God. The day-to-day living can wear us down and rob us of our joy. But when we connect back to God, we find peace and wholeness and delight. It's the peace of God that will guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. And this matters because our hearts and our minds need a guard to protect them. There's so many things that want to creep in on us. There's so many things that want to find their way into our life, and it's the stress and the pressure and the worry and the nonsense and all of the unending things that we could focus on. Instead, prayer helps guard our minds and our hearts in Christ Jesus. And it's not that we won't ever face worry again, that we won't ever feel anxiety, but when we do, we have a resource in Christ Jesus. He stands guard over my heart and over my mind, and you got to get through him first to get to me. Prayer helps connect us to the heart of God. And every time we pray, every time we connect back to him, we're placing our hearts, our minds in his care, in his protection, and remembering who we are in Jesus Christ, remembering what he can do and what he can accomplish. I want to encourage us to practice this together this week. We're doing our week of prayer. It kicks off tomorrow, Monday night at 7 p.m. We're going to be here every night in Old Brooklyn, 7 p.m., Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Come pray with us. We're going to pray for each other and with each other. We're going to pray for our church and our community and the work that God wants to accomplish. We're going to pray for the hard things. We're going to say thank you for the great things. We're going to praise God together with songs, and we're going to spend time connecting to God that his peace and his joy might be in us. I promise it's a time that you don't want to miss. Let's spend this time seeing what God might do. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray, Father, as the worries and the stress and the anxieties of life creep up in us, as the pressures try to choke out of us your joy, that we would respond by praying in all things. I pray, Father, that as we connect to you, as we know you, as we grow in our relationship and our faith with you, that your peace that surpasses all understanding would fill us up. I pray that our joy would be found in you, and as we are filled with joy, you would give us strength and courage, that we would not be anxious about anything, but we would pray about everything. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.